The Big Sip. All right. We are back. Another episode of The Big Sip, and I am so excited for the human that I have sitting in front of me. This is such a special individual because I hear a lot about the incredible things that he's doing, and there's so much in there that just hits so close to home for me, and I know that all of you are just going to be so wowed and impressed with his story, his journey, what he's currently doing to help give back. So it is my absolute pleasure to introduce to you Sam Para, proprietor of Para Wines and co-chair of Aivoy, a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to mentoring vineyard stewards, which is a very loving term instead of just calling everyone field workers.
or a vineyard worker. But Gabby, thank you so much for having me on The Big Sip. This is truly a big honor to share my story where I grew up.
Yeah, you grew up here. That's so right. And that's something that we actually ended up bonding over is you're originally now living in Oregon, but originally from Napa, actually in the same town where I went to school. We graduated from St. Helena High. So talk about roots in one area and now having roots in another.
Yeah, I was class in 1996. All 110 in my class. And hey, you know, it's one of those things for that era, you know, you grew up on Too Short, on E40, on Mac Dre, but you also have a little Los Bukis, Puerto Rico, and Ramon Ayala.
Un poquito de todo.
Yeah, un poquito de todo. But my journey began through my very first winery job was at Pine Ridge Winery in the Stags Leap District. So at 21, the founders, Nancy and Gary Andrus, they founded a property out here in what is known as the Dundee Hills.
Okay.
Throughout the Willamette Valley.
Okay, so you're in Willamette.
Yeah, and then at the end, you got to think of the damn it.
Willamette, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. So the Dundee Hills is a very famous AVA within the whole valley, and they founded Archery Summit. So in Oregon, or back then when wineries were a lot smaller, there's two big traditions of open houses on two weekends, Memorial Day and Thanksgiving weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can buy a booklet. You get your passport to go around to all these wineries. And so I first got to travel out here back in the day in 2000, by the way. And for Memorial Day weekend, we would fly out of England.
Oh, my gosh.
And I know. We would fly in tiny planes of the Cessnas, and we would land in a city called McMinnville. And then for Thanksgiving weekend, it's a little more rough weather to go and travel in small planes. So we would either take commercial flights or we would drive to Oregon. It's about a 9.5 hour drive from St. Helena over to Dundee.
Road trip. On,
exactly. Yeah. Really fun. Very scenic road trip. So from that point on, I kept visiting out here in Oregon and just seeing the changes. Just to kind of give you a visual, you know, in Northern California so well, this area reminds me of Northern Sonoma County or parts of Mendocino County.
Oh, where love things, Mendocino.
Things are a bit more, yeah, it's a lot more wide open spaces. It's a very large agriculture area, mm-hmm. and it's not dominated by vineyards. As Napa back in the day, there was a lot of orchards of walnuts and dates and figs. Well, out here in Oregon, hazelnuts thrive really well, cherries, blueberries, but also Oregon is a top producer of grass seed. So that was my journey back then out here to Oregon, where I kept revisiting. And my wife and myself, we moved in the summer of 2016.
That's incredible. Did you do all of the back and forth traveling to Dundee Hill through Pine Ridge and what you were doing with them, or just out of this love because you were just enjoying what you were seeing out there?
I traveled up here 3 years in a row through Pine Ridge. And then after that, I would come visit every 2 or 3 years, more because I enjoyed the area and seeing how it was growing and developing.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt at home back then visiting the area.
Absolutely, especially if you could see the relatability between your hometown and this new place that you were growing and starting to have a really big, deep love and affection towards. Did you then know prior to 2016 and sort of those initial first moments where you started really traveling on your own and venturing to Oregon on your own, did you know that you were going to eventually make that move there and that you were going to say not necessarily goodbye to Napa, but what really initially sealed the deal to draw you in over there?
it was definitely more recent times. My in-laws moved up here from Ukiah in Mendocino County. They moved up. They're west of Salem. They came up here for the affordability of to actually finally retire.
California is expensive.
Correct. And then also my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law, they moved. They actually moved before my in-laws. And my wife, she has a very large family in Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. But within her family, she only has one sibling. So her side of the family was up here. So it was then when we saw my sister-in-law and brother-in-law move up here. And they made a lot of progression improvements in their life as far as becoming homeowners, parenthood for them.
Right. Personal goals.
Correct. So that's what encouraged our move out here. It was just, as you know, the very high cost of living and through the whole Bay Area in general. Anyways, we're happy moving out here. I live in Dallas, Oregon. It's west of Salem, 20 minutes west of Salem.
Okay, very cool. I love that that's just like la cosa de la vida. It's just how life works out, right? And all you got to do is just chase what feels good. And like you said, you're happy that you're out there and you're the proprietor of Para Wines. And that is something that is so beautiful that you've started and created in Oregon. Walk me through a little bit about that and sort of your... Ooh, nice bottle of wine. You know, that label is so cool looking. And I heard you talking about that in an interview that you did with Maria on Hispanics and Wine. And it was so cool to listen to you talk about the intricacies behind even just the label making and brand ownership and knowing that you got to position yourself in that appropriate place. But before we get to that, talk to me about your travels through Pine Ridge and eventually how it led you to Oregon, but mostly now how you created Para Wine and the things that you're doing for yourself in Oregon and all of your successes as this small business producer.
Back then was more to explore the AVAs of the entire valley itself. And back then, and it's still dominated right now as varietals as Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir. But right now, I think, we're in a very special era because a lot of companies are setting up shop from France and California. And I feel that with climate change, they see themselves, you know, this is going to be the next big region out to invest in. And also that what's changing out here, the variety of what you have growing, you're starting to have some growers plant Tempranillo, Syrah. Mm. There's even a few planting Cabernet Franc. And also on white varietals that mm-hmm. have a bit more of a thicker skin is Chenin Blanc, mm-hmm. Sauvignon Blanc as well. But I want to emphasize how for Para Wine Co., I have no investors. I didn't get help from any family. I didn't get help from any investors, any friends. I just began to save tip money. Wow. And also on my days off from my daytime employer. When we first moved up here, I actually worked for Archery Summit from summer of 2016 to summer of 2019. But on my days off, I only had one day off common off with my wife. And so the other day off, I would actually go bottle at wineries, get in the truck and get your wine country workout. That's how I began to save for Para Wine Co.
Whatever it took. That's what I call a hustler.
Even back in high school, I knew that my last name, it's only a small section of the world, northern Portugal and northwest Spain. Parra there means vine. Like in Ingles, my name would be Sam Vine.
Ah.
Where in other Spanish-speaking countries, it's Viña or Viñas.
That is so cool. And I'm telling you, I love the intricacy of the label. Hopefully everyone who's listening here will go ahead and Google Para Wine Co. and be able to take a look at that label because it's really, it's literally spelling out a P, just like your last name, but it's in the shape of that vine.
Correct. And then also anything that's going to be on the P label is going to be a single vineyard wine. And I actually want to show you my second label here.
Ooh.
And this is what I plan to grow and hopefully one day to go out in distribution. This is my second label here. It's a family shield. It's a family crest. I connected with an artist in Corvallis and she did a matador that's supposed to resemble me a little bit.
I see that.
And then el toro y el matador. But in the back of the bottle, I put el toro y el matador decide to make wine, not war. We can all learn from them. Salud.
Ah, oh, so beautiful. Yes. If we come together, that unity, Oh, that's exactly what we need. That is amazing.
And then I also provided the handle, the Instagram handle of the artist.
That is so cool. Paying it back and just being able to amplify. Yeah. That's amazing.
Right. To explain a little bit. So my second label, that Viognier does come from a single vineyard, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the grower didn't want to be disclosed. They're well known, but they trusted those grapes in my hand. So I created a second label for vineyards that sell me grapes that do not want to be disclosed. Or if I create any blends of multiple vineyards, they will not be on the P logo. The Parra Winco will be single vineyard wines. You will only see the Parra Winco P logo label on my Instagram account. You will see my second label when people tag my second label wine. I'm never going to show the second label on my Parra Winco.
Hey, it's marketing right there. Branding. You're just trying to position yourself in the best way. And that's exactly what you got to do, especially if you're the hustler who's doing it all on your own, right? You're the thinking brains. You're the salesman. You're the winemaker. You're wearing all of these hats. That is a whole lot of energy and passion that someone has to have to just keep it going day in and day out like you have been. And it's so interesting because you actually primarily focus on Tempranillo, right? Some Tempranillo and some Albariño for Parra wine.
So I'm going to bottle my first Albariño next month.
That's so much fun. How excited are you about that?
Oh, I'm super excited. It's going to be a delicious wine. I'm going to hit the market so fast with that wine. It's going to be like the Roadrunner driving a Ferrari.
We'll definitely have to make sure that everyone is well aware of how they can access some of that so they can make sure that they're getting their hands on some of that good.
You know, keep in mind, I just started my company in 2019.
And I imagine it's been a venture. What was it like starting your company in 2019? Walk me through sort of what the last 2 years of that has looked like. And was COVID a challenge for you? What was it like navigating that as you were trying to launch Parra Wines? And what sort of advice would you give to anybody who keep going? How do you keep the faith?
No, of course. So I'll give you a quick story for 2019. The custom crush facility I made wine at.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, the owner of the custom crush facility, he happened to visit Archery Summit in December of 16, okay? It was the first year that I moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought his wife and a friend of his from out of town, and I hosted them, and it turned out that he was the very first cellar master of Archery Summit.
Oh, wow.
And he left in 1999, so I first visited that winery in 2000, but I knew a lot of his coworkers from back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we did meet eventually because Gary and Nancy Andrus, they used to fly the staff of Archery Summit for the Christmas party in Napa. But we just never got to really talk as too much to the workers because we were kind of busy with our own little circle of friends, coworkers, I guess.
Right. Right.
But we knew all the team that worked back then together. And he was actually the one that invited me in January of 17. He told me when he visited with his wife, he's like, hey, I'm going to have my first bottling in 3 weeks. Do you want to come join us? And he told me the day. I'm like, oh, it's a Tuesday. It's my day off. You know, I'm not off with my wife. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll come bottle. And I thought, I'm like, oh, cool. He's going to pay me with the wine. Mm-hmm. He ended up paying me with cash and wine.
Okay.
And he ended up connecting me with other winemakers and said, hey, you know, this guy actually knows what he's doing. And anyways, that was my connection onto finding my bonded facility to make wine at through him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So for last year, you know, you have to think outside the box. So I definitely stepped up my Zoom tastings.
Oh, great. That way you can definitely interact with your consumers.
But also, My model for sales is actually mailing list. So it was a lot of phone sales. And my base clientele is actually in California, being in the business for over 20 years on winery and distribution, but also away from wine sales, I had other sales job in the Bay Area, not wine related. So I have a large base clientele where, again, I did a lot of phone sales, personal calls of my base clientele.
You know, I think that you might have actually seen some success there because I was reading a statistic that because obviously everyone was in this virtual space, a lot of people were being hit with email blasts nonstop. Sometimes people really appreciate that, and it's nice to just hear someone's voice and connect on that personal level.
So that was a big change, because I was planning to do to go showcase my wine at, you know, high end hotels in Portland or resorts on the coast. And mm-hmm. with COVID, that was not happening.
Yeah.
So I stepped up the efforts again, where, you know, the hustle continues mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it's a matter again of picking up the phone and talking to individuals that I know and hand selling my product, basically.
Yep. Just doing and the
then,
work.
Yeah, exactly. And then covering your last question, what would I recommend to others is this, you know, my lifetime long friends are in Napa Valley. As far as for my side of the family, my whole family's there. But I think, you know, sometimes in life, in order to pursue some dreams and goals, you have to make some big sacrifices.
Mm, amen to that. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah. And I think all of us can maybe pinpoint times in our lives where we've made sacrifices. But sometimes when it's like those really big goals, you have to dig a little deeper. And even if it means picking up and going to a place that you're unfamiliar with, but you know that it's going to bring something fruitful towards you, like much of what you've been able to do with Bada Wines, and embracing those opportunities, right? When they present themselves to you, which I think you expressed beautifully when you mentioned just taking the opportunity on a Tuesday where anybody else, maybe they would have been like, oh, it's my day off. Like, I kind of just want to relax. But instead, you looked at it as an opportunity to, yeah, I'm going to go help this guy bottle wine. And from there, look at all of the connections that were able to come from that. And that's why you really have to embrace those opportunities when they come your way.
Yeah. And it was through those gigs where I got to meet winemakers, and then they're the ones connected with growers. And that's how I got lined up some really good fruit, some well-known growers, mm-hmm. and for myself to be in, the new face, the new kid on the block, it was through networking and that personal connection where the growers, knowing that my connection with that winemaker, they're like, sure, I'll sell you one ton of fruit. Like, sure, I'll give somebody new a shot at it.
An opportunity. And that's so important right now, especially as we talk about diversity and really changing the landscape in the wine industry. Did any part of you feel like you left Napa? One, obviously, you know, costs and being able to start up a winery business in Napa versus Oregon. But was any part of that ever driven by this sense that Napa was really closed off or cliquey, like you don't really feel as though maybe as a Latino producer, you're really a part of the wine community and the wine industry?
Well, even out here in Oregon, the Latino community is even a smaller minority. Mm. group versus California, where there's such a large Latino population.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel there's been a lot of changes in Napa as well. Have you met Armando Tam? He's trying to organize Comidazo.
I haven't. No, I haven't had the pleasure.
Yeah, you know, I have not connected with him yet, but he's trying to organize a food and wine festival for minority-owned businesses.
That would be amazing. You know, I mean,
yeah, you know, Mava has been around for a good while now.
Right. Yeah, the Mexican American Vintners Association, for sure, which is definitely great that we have that organization in existence to really highlight and amplify the Latino voices and producers in the community.
But I feel in Napa, and even and by the way, when my wife and myself moved up here, we were living already in Sonoma County. I have been living mainly in Sonoma County since 2010 to 2016. I was living mainly in Healdsburg and Geyserville, by the way. But I don't know. You know, I feel that in Napa and Sonoma, there is a big respect for the Latino community in general, where I feel that there's a respect there of them recognizing who's really doing the really hard work, the really important work in general is the farming aspect. You need really good grapes in order to make good wine.
Absolutely. Napa Valley definitely wouldn't have the success that it has without the backbone, which is the Latino community here who are being the vineyard stewards out in the field. At the same time, there can always be improvements. You are doing much of that through IEVOI over in Oregon. And I think, you know, concepts like that, that nonprofit organization would be profoundly impactful, especially as we think about bringing more equity to the table when it comes towards the advancement of people of color. And making sure that they can keep excelling and keep growing within the industry at the same, you know, rates and opportunities as their counterparts. Walk me through iAvoy and exactly, you know, what that organization's mission is, how you became a part of it.
Yeah, so iAvoy, the founders are Juliana Guillen, and then her husband passed away fairly young, but he was one of the few Mexican winemakers here, Jesus Guillen. Mm-hmm. They started out just meeting up for coffee with Sofia Torres, that owns Cremosi Vineyard. Okay. And then Jesus Guillen at the time was winemaker at White Rose. And then they also met up with Miguel Lopez, where his dad was vineyard manager at a really famous winery of Beauferrer. Here in Oregon. So Miguel Lopez grew up in the industry and grew up in McMinnville. But iAvoy did not have the name yet itself. They were just meeting up for coffee, exchanging ideas. But when I moved out here in 2016 and 2017, I volunteered for Salud. Salud is a big fundraiser where they fundraise in order to pay for this mobile unit that travels to vineyard sites. And they actually, they provide dental services and medical services to vineyard stewards that do not have medical insurance.
Wow, that is phenomenal. Yeah.
And then in 2017 and 2018, I volunteered for the Northwest Community Services in McMinnville, and they help individuals that are going through U.S. citizenship, gaining citizenship. Oh. And they don't have to be Latino, by the way, but a lot of the folks they sponsor are Latino, and a lot of them are also Latino vineyard stewards. Mm-hmm. And so it was at a fundraising event where one of the organizers of the fundraiser introduced me to Sofia Torres and Miguel Lopez. They were sitting on the same table as Jesus Guillen. Mm-hmm. And I was actually running the silent auction. I was kind of just a guy floating around, answering questions on the table, answering questions about wines and packages. Nomás como echando porra, basically. hyping up the package.
And there you go. More money, make that dollar holla.
Exactly. So I think at that time, you know, Jesus Guillen, his winery where he was working at was really close to Archery Summit. And I think he realized, he's like, you know, we got to talk to this guy. He networks quite a bit in the Valley, and he's brought some really nice donations. I actually got really great donations from California, Napa and Sonoma to donate to these causes.
Oh, great.
And so, yeah, he called my employer looking for me, and they provided him my email, and then he came to visit me. Even though we met in the past, we just didn't know each other. I would always go visit White Rose because, again, Jesus Guillen being one of the few Latino
producers,
winemakers in the area. Mm-hmm. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was employed by them, but again, yeah, a winemaker there, and always enjoy the wine, but to go see him. And his brother is a tastinger manager as well of White Rose.
Very cool. Lots of family aspects there.
Exactly. That's how it came about. So they said, hey, you know, Miguel Lopez is in tune with the vineyard community. And they said, you know, we've heard that you're really in touch with the hospitality side. And for the marketing side, they're like, do you know any Latinos, you know, the few that might be out here in your position? And I'm like, yeah, I know of a few. And invited them. And that's when we began meetings. Mm-hmm. And it was about maybe three meetings in where we voted with iAvoy is the acronym, by the way. Asociación Hispana de la Industria de Vinocola en Oregón y Comunidad.
So that is so cool that you ended up making that acronym out of iAvoy, because iAvoy also translates to the actual word in Spanish to English. There I go.
There I go.
There I go. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do, is make sure people can keep advancing.
Right. So we started the meetings, and Jesus passed away very fast. I mean, very sudden. He just never realized he had cancer.
Wow.
And when they found that it has spread all over, and it took over really fast, and he passed away. We took months off. We didn't gather until, I believe, March of 2019, just to tell you how fast this has evolved.
Right.
And it was just our president, Diana Ornelas. Mm-hmm. She works for a winery, Winderly. Mm-hmm. was Miguel Lopez, which now has his own vineyard management company.
Amazing.
Red Dirt Labor Company. And then Sofia Torres McKay owns Cremosi Vineyard with her husband, Ryan McKay.
Mm-hmm.
And then myself, it was four of us, just very meaningful, small meetings. And from there, we just began to build the team, where a lady that works for a large CPA firm, Carly Tell,
mm-hmm.
She happens to be on the treasury committee. We all volunteer for the nonprofit, by the way.
That's what I was going to say. This is just a group of people who recognize this work as being important, and you Correct. All bring an aspect to the table, a background to the table, to be able to essentially compile one incredibly knowledgeable educational tool, which is a combination of all of you put together.
Right. So the program started last year at Chemeketa. Chemeketa is in Salem. It's a city college.
Okay.
And it started as a pilot, a non-credit pilot program.
Okay.
Okay. And it's still evolving. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the IEVOI program, eventually we wanted to grow and show them how there's scholarships or financial aid, how they can actually take units at Chemeketa and transfer to either Linfield for business, or also in Corvallis, which is just half an hour away from Salem.
Mm-hmm.
They have an enology program there. It's a pilot program right now.
Right. Yeah. And so is much of that educational piece and going straight through the college and through them seeking coursework there, or is there any kind of mentorship aspect that comes with one-on-one work with all of you who are putting in the work to build this out?
We're putting in the work for the fundraising aspect and to mentor them. But as far as the educational aspect, that is all through the college.
Every piece is working together to achieve that. And that's incredible that you're all volunteering your time, because you recognize, again, this is what it takes. A veces, just sacrificios, again, and knowing my time here to others, it might be like, oh, I'm exhausted. Here's another 4 hours ahead of work with things that I'm not being paid for. But it's those steps that you're taking in that present moment that are going to translate over to really profoundly impactful, positive changes for that next incoming generation or the next incoming group of people who want to continue to advance themselves in this industry. Are the classes being taught in languages that meet them on their levels and things like that? Or are those classes only being taught in English when it comes to the educational aspect?
They are in English, and all the students are already professionals in the field.
Gotcha.
It's a big difference when you have a vineyard steward where they might be really good at agriculture. And sometimes when the grapes are delivered at the winery, some individuals just don't really wonder what's the next step of processing the grapes and winemaking.
Mm.
But we are helping the ones that want to learn. They're like, well, what
the wonders.
Mm-hmm. What happens after we pick these beautiful grapes, and when they get to the winery, what is next?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way of retention for this industry, because here's an example where, say, a vineyard steward starting out as not even as a foreman, just in general for labor,
right?
Where just as an example, let's just say they're getting paid between 12 or 18 an hour. And all of a sudden, they get married, they begin to start a young family. And, maybe sometimes they might see other jobs as far as construction or joining a union where they're getting paid double the amount,
mm-hmm.
or maybe the wine industry may not intrigue them at that point. So what we're doing is, with education, for them, they not only they feel empowered, 100%, but I feel that you give them more of a purpose in their job as well.
Absolutely. So, that sense of ownership in that position to know, yo tengo la oportunidad, pero también tengo que poner el trabajo, tiene que venir de mí,
So it's great with the program, because they spent weeks at a time covering enology, winemaking, and then vineyard management, pest control. But then, of course, they go into finance, marketing. They're actually taking the WSET, which is offered at Linfield College, by the way.
That's so great.
So Linfield now made an effort to connect with Aivoy as well. So as far as for the educational, for the wine education, mm-hmm. through the DEBSET, vineyard stewards are going to be going to this great program for wine education. And again, once the wine industry, it's beyond as far as the labor work, once they have the passion for the culture and the industry, I think at that point, you know, you're hooked even more on this business. But not only that, but again, as far as their employers, it's a matter of the program where eventually they are going to meet promotions and grow within the industry. Again, how it's developing out here and still growing. So
exactly. Investors who will definitely recognize the importance of educating, amplifying, supporting Black and brown individuals, Indigenous people who are coming from all sorts of diverse backgrounds and wanting to advance themselves in these positions. I think it's so cool that you got two schools to be a part of and really invest in this program and this nonprofit pilot program and organization, and that recognize the importance of doing this. Was it difficult to loop in those partners, or, you know, who were you all contacting to kind of achieve all of these different things, to gain and network multiple contacts here?
We were really lucky to get the program started really fast, because we did have some very generous donors. And it was actually from the early families, the pioneers of the valley, mm-hmm. where they even agreed where a program like this should have existed years ago already.
And that's the question that so many of us ask, right? Especially as we look towards, you know, the future of the industry and what we're hopeful for all people. You know, it's like, how is it that it's 2021 and we're still having these conversations about access to wine and equity and showcasing, you know, different stories, different narratives and things like that. So I look forward to all of the exciting things that can happen by getting people really invested in opportunities and programs like this. What are you most excited for and looking forward to with Aivoy and Paraguayans as you keep navigating through 2021, whatever challenges might come with it, but still pushing forward anyways?
I feel with Aivoy, the main goal is to keep the program happening. Mm. Right now there is a cap of students due to COVID restrictions.
Right.
But it could be a matter of maybe the entire state of Oregon recognizing the program, mm-hmm. because you do have community colleges like Napa Valley College, mm-hmm. and the state of Oregon, where again, they might look at what we're doing with Aivoy and say, okay, you know, let's connect the actual government with this program. And this is going to be, again, a great way to empower individuals and retain labor in certain industries, you know, obviously the vineyard, the winery industry.
Yep.
As far as for Parra Wine Co., I have made connections with growers out in the Walla Walla side of Oregon. There's a special little area in Walla Walla called Milton Freewater. Mm-hmm. And being hotter out there, I'm going to have access to the thicker skin grapes that I grew up enjoying in Napa Valley, such as Cabernet Franc or the great Syrahs of Sonoma County, where I want to eventually source fruit from Milton Freewater, the Walla Walla side of Oregon. Mm-hmm. Or also there's the Columbia Gorge, uh-huh. that surrounds the city of Hood River, because that showcases more of microclimates, where again, I can get access to the thicker skin grapes that just don't plainly ripen. We don't have a long growing season here in the valley, where and eventually I do want to make Pinot Noir that dominates the area.
Right.
But starting out so small, I had to start out very different. I wouldn't do myself any justice. I would be, if I started with a Pinot Noir, I would be another Pinot Noir producer of hundreds.
Of hundreds. Here. Yeah. You're differentiating yourself by focusing on Tempranillo, about to, you know, do an Albariño and release that, by focusing on Syrah, by paving different paths.
And again, another varieties that I don't want to just talk about right now, because some are going to be in such minimal amounts that they are going to be allocated to just only some mailing list members, basically.
So basically, to get access to you and all of your delicious wines, we have to be on your mailing list.
But yeah, so for Parra Wine Co. right now, it's such a tiny production. It's such a small project. Go to parrawineco.com.
parrawineco.com.
And then go to mailing list and fill it out.
Perfect. Perfect. Y'all heard it right there. parrawineco.com. That's two R's in para. You'll remember because you got to roll the R's.
Parra. Yeah. Don't miss out on the Alvarinho. Okay. It's going to.
Oh, the Alvarinho. I'm definitely about to join this mailing list and make sure that I get some. Yeah. I love that you're making and focusing on varietals that, you know, we don't see too often here on this side, especially coming from people who are originally from Napa Valley. I had a little bit of experience working with some of those Spanish grape varietals when I was the marketing manager for a Spanish wine importing company. They're like the seventh largest in the world, but they have no presence here in the U.S. up until about a couple of years ago. And that was when I started learning about Alvarinhos and just the different regions in Spain, Rioja, and all of the other fabulous places that are making some beautiful Tempranillos. So I'm definitely excited to taste all of that. And it's so cool, again, you know, just thinking how things work out and how things come full circle. And again, your networking opportunities, how they led you to having a chance to, you know, network with so many different growers. And then that's assisted you with producing your own wines. It really shows us, you know, don't give up on your dreams. And like you said, a veces there's sacrificios, there's sacrifices that we have to make in order to actually achieve those goals. Even if the road looks different from what we thought, right? It's the end journey that we're trying to get to, and we just got to enjoy the ride along the way.
Yeah, exactly. So this for this year, I'm going to focus through the Chemeketa Small Business Development Center.
That college you were speaking of, correct?
Well, also through the Small Business Development Center in Salem. Mm. I'm going to be looking for programs where the city of Salem is being quite generous for startup companies, where I want to open up a wine lounge, a co-op. Just picture like, have you visited Vintners Collective?
I haven't visited the Vintners Collective.
Or have you been to the Napa Wine Company in Oakville?
I have been to the Napa Wine Company in Oakville. Yes, that's the one right across the street from Oakville Grocery, correct?
Exactly. You go in and you can taste from 12 different wineries.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
Except the big difference is that some of them are actually making the wine there, where mine is going to be more of the actual just lounge. And I'm going to be focusing on not just Latino brand owners, but I have some friends that are such small brand owners where I want to support them and showcase their wines that are not Latino. And they're so busy in production where sometimes they need the assistance on the marketing and sales side, where, you know, that's where I'm going to come in and I'm going to push their wine all day. I'm going to sell it like hot, you know, like tamales at Christmas time. They're going to be flying out the door.
Like fast. Los Padres right now with COVID and still trying to get the donations. They're like, tamales, come on, we got to make that money. I think it's great. Again, you know, definitely important to amplify Latinos and different wines that people normally aren't exposed to. You know, we're very used to the cabs and, you know, Napa Valley style wines. But then also so great that, you know, you're talking about pulling up people with you and you're doing that with Aivoy, and then to envision, you know, this lounge space and specifically want to highlight those smaller producers to really give them a chance to be spotlighted, you know, on a level where people are going to have access to it. Again, that's what it's all about, right? Bringing equity and accessibility in this world of wine.
Yes.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for everything. I am so excited to just see what continues to roll on out. I'm definitely going to be joining that mailing list. All of y'all out there, join the mailing list to stay connected with everything going down with Aivoy, everything happening with Parra Wine Co. by checking out parrawineco.com. That's parrawineco.com. Ya lo saben. And follow him on Instagram. What's the Instagram handle? How do we keep up with you? How do we keep getting that big sip?
Parrawineco.
Parrawineco. Same thing. Instagram handle. Also check out the webpage. Such a pleasure speaking with you, Sam. I wish you the best of luck. And you and I will definitely be staying connected for so many different things. If you are out there, like he mentioned too, you know, some resources, some individuals. Again, sometimes it's all about networking and really connecting connecting people with one another. If we're out here saying let's amplify diversity, then let's really start to bridge the gaps. And if you have someone or know of someone that can assist with IEVOI, with making sure that that program is sustainable, with just assisting, you know, smaller producers and connecting them with some more folks, you already know you can come through me, Gabriela, here with you on the Big Sip. Or again, go ahead and reach out to Sam Parra from Parra Wine Co.
Gabi, muchas gracias.
Placer. Thanks for joining me on the Big Sip. Saludos.
Peace out.
The Big Sip.